Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and this is another Redemption Time Bible broadcast. Thank you so much for listening today. It is such a joy and a privilege to be able to bring this broadcast to you and to try and be a blessing to you today. Well, we had a gathering, family gathering over the weekend, and saw an uncle hadn't seen in a long time. And we may have a new listener this morning. Uncle Ben, if you're listening this morning, we want to welcome you to the broadcast. And we're going to play a song here in a little bit. We're going to play it just for you and dedicate it to you. Trust that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. Yes, friend, lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. If you want to know what God's doing, just check his clock. And his clock is called Israel. And when you see the whole world turning against Israel, you know that the time is short, that the man of sin's being ready to be revealed. And just before that, God's going to take his church out. And if you're saved, have reason to rejoice. If you're not saved, you have reason to repent. To be saved today before it is everlastingly too late, or before that you're left behind when the rapture occurs. Well, we're going to play you a song. Let me give you my church announcements first. We're located at 1585 Mount Tabor Road in Maryville. We are the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle. Our pastor is Brother Rick Meltzer. And we meet on Sunday morning for Sunday school at 9:45. I do the adult Sunday school, and then Brother Rick, of course, our pastor, does the worship. Invite you to come be with us in Sunday school. Then our morning worship begins at 10:45, Sunday night at 6, and then again on Wednesday at 7. We'd love to invite you to come and be with us. I know the Lord bless you if you did. Well, we're going to have a song for you now, and then we'll be back with today's message. We're still continuing looking at the narrative of Israel crossing Jordan and camping at Gilgal, and the memorials that were set up there.
Nothing behind me.
Yeah, sorry about that. Got a little quick on the music there before I was quite ready. But anyway, that was the group that used to be with Merlin Williams. And that was off their album, Still Blessed. And trust that it was a blessing to you. And certainly, we've been talking about crossing rivers and being in the wilderness. And that's what Israel had done. They'd come through the wilderness, had crossed River Jordan over into Gilgal, where they set up those stones as a remembrance. And as they begin to make the conquest into the land of victory, having left the desert behind and the many defeats that they met there. Well, let's have a word of prayer this morning, and then we'll get into today's message. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today, for everyone that's listening. Lord, I pray that somehow you'll make this broadcast a blessing to each one, touch each life with exactly what that life needs. Lord, I know that there's nothing in this world satisfies like knowing you as your personal Savior and having you as your companion, confident in the fact that every mile that we make is a mile closer to home. And as we think about the fact that the song said, there's nothing to go back to. There's nothing behind us. All of it's in front of us. And people like me, whose most of their days are gone, just a few days left ahead. Oh, my, how we need you today. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this broadcast. Help me to say the words that's needed to be said. Help me to use these scriptures in a way that pleases you and glorifies you and honors you and lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for those in pain today, give them help. For those in financial straits, Lord, help them. Lord, I pray for that one that's nearest eternity today that's not saved. Father, life is so uncertain, death is so sure. And I pray, dear Lord, that if there's one listening to my voice today that's near eternity and they're not saved, that you'll somehow use this broadcast to speak to that heart. Help them to know that you love them and that the Lord Jesus Christ loves them. Came to this earth and gave his life, died on a cross, was buried and raised again. All because of us, that we might be saved. We couldn't go where he was, but he came where we was, and now we can go where he is. So thank you, Lord, for all that you do and all that you accomplished today on the broadcast. We're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, from the book of Joshua, we've been looking at this incident where Israel crossed the River Jordan over into the land of Canaan. And now they're in the land of victory, in the land that God has promised them. And last time we were talking about how that Ephraim and Manasseh were the children of Joseph. Their mother was a Gentile, and therefore they had no part in Israel. They could not claim any of the promise. And yet Jacob, before he died, he adopted those two children as his own, as though they were his own children, not grandchildren, and therefore they did receive a inheritance, a portion of the promised land that they could claim for their own. Now, we drew an analogy of that, of Joseph, how that he represented one that left the place that he was there, where he was at. And he was gone down into Egypt there before the famine started. His brothers had sold him. And we compared that to the Lord Jesus Christ, although we said it's not a type and it's not necessarily an example. It's just an analogy that I drew. But I want you to think about what Joseph did. Joseph went down into alien country. There he took a Gentile bride. And because of the adoption by Jacob, those Gentiles were adopted into the blessings of Israel and into their portion of the promised land. And I tell you that we had one that did the same thing for us. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was there in heaven with all of the glory, all of the comforts and everything of heaven, with the admiration and the worship of the holy angels. And he left all of that and he came down into this world where he too was despised of his brethren, just like Joseph was. He was sold by his people in the person of Judas, who sold him for the price of a slave, just like Joseph was. And then, but because of him, he delivered his people. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he came here and died on that cross and bore the sins of the world. He paid the sin debt for every man, and therefore we have a promise. We have a portion. We have a claim yonder in God's promised land, in that heaven, that place we can go when we leave this world. Friend, there's only two places to go, and there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work there at Calvary. When you give up on all your own efforts and quit worrying about trying to do better or trying to do right, it's not about that. It's all about whether or not I have ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have I ever believed upon him? Now, I know it's one thing to say I believe that there was a Jesus. I believe there's a God. But it's totally something else to forsake all other efforts and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to claim you as my Savior and my only claim to the Father and to my inheritance yonder in the promised land. I call that a pretty good memorial to the grace of God. Now, this thing, Gilgal, that's exactly what the word Gilgal means, is remembrance. And if you, memorial, I'm sorry. And if you remember, they did take 12 stones out of that river when they crossed over Jordan, and they set them up on the Canaan side of Jordan, and they then put 12 stones that they took into the river and put them there in the river under the water, never to be seen again. And we'll get to what all of that means before we finish this, but I would like for us to remember, first of all, think about what are we talking about here. We're talking about a memorial, and when you're talking about memorial, let's look, first of all, at these people's resources. What was the resource that these people had? They had just come out of that wilderness. They'd been wandering around in that wilderness, lost for 40 years. God, because of their unbelief, wouldn't let them go in the promised land until everybody that had left Egypt, the adults, were all dead. And then he allowed the next generation to go into Canaan. Now, what were their resources? First of all, they had the presence of God as their resource. Now, let me read you something from Joshua chapter 3 and verse 3. Now, as you know, when they got to River Jordan, it was flooded. They were trying to go across, and it was flooded, and they had to somehow get across. So, God had instructed Joshua to tell his priests, take that Ark of the Covenant, put it on the shoulder of those priests, and walk them right down into the River Jordan. And when they did, the waters rolled back, and they walked through on dry land. But listen, listen to this. It said, it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now, what he's telling them is this. When you see these priests, that they're going to take that ark, which represented the presence of God or the will of God, the very essence of God being in the presence of Israel. That was that was the mercy seat, was inside that tabernacle that they were carrying. That mercy seat was inside there. The Ark of the Covenant is what it's called, and inside that was the mercy seat. That was where God came down, and there he saw that the blood had been sprinkled on the Day of Atonement, and that sin had been atoned for, and that was how that man was reconciled back to God. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ took his blood before the Lord before his Father, God the Father, and one time, and there that was good for all time. You see, those priests had to do that every year, but he only had to do it one time. His blood was good for time, and it's good for eternity. It'll keep us in life, it'll keep us in death, and it'll keep us until we reach that other shore. And then, what did he say? And that's the presence of God in the ark. And he said, follow it, because you haven't been this way before. You do not know the way to go, and therefore you need to follow where this ark goes. And can I say to you today that we walk an unknown path in this world, and none of us knows where the next day or the next hour is going to take us. And but I can tell you this, that if you follow God, if you follow that which is right, if you follow the will and the ways of God, and if you're saved by the grace of God, you can never go wrong by following that presence and knowing that he's going to lead you in a sure path. And though we've not been this way before, and no, we'll not be this way again, but thank God we can follow him and through his leadership, and to know which way to go and to follow his presence. And I can tell you that you will never go wrong. You see, the path is unsure, and the path is unsafe. Crossing that river was a dangerous thing, even when the waters were subsided. They'd not been that way before, and that wasn't something people did every day. And yet, if they followed that ark, as they were instructed to do, followed the pathway led by the ark or the presence of God, then they would certainly be all right. Friend, we said last week that there are two views of what the River Jordan represents. One is it represents, of course, as we said, the true meaning of Jordan is the passing from the wilderness into the land of Canaan, the land of defeat, the land of wilderness journey, sojourning, into the place of victory. And that is the actual real meaning. Now, many people believe that Jordan, crossing over Jordan, represents the death of a saint. Now, it could be either way. That's not a real bad analogy, although it's not exactly the correct one, but it's not a bad comparison. But let me say to this, friend, if you're going to wade into the waters, if you consider River Jordan to be the river of death that we have to cross to get over into the promised land where God has promised us, then let me beg of you, do not go that way unless you are following the ark, unless you know the presence of God is with you, unless you know that you have been to Calvary, unless you know that there's been a time that you gave up all of your self-efforts, and you just came to realize that nothing we can do can help us in that hour. The only thing that matters when we take that last breath is, do we have Jesus as our Savior? That's the only thing that's going to matter, folks. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. Doesn't matter how much prestige, how much power. Doesn't matter how popular you are. Doesn't matter how poor you are. Doesn't matter what people think of you. The only thing that matters is, do you have Jesus in your heart? And I want to beg you today, don't walk into those old chilly waters if you do not know without a doubt that you have been saved and that you're following the will of God and the way of God, that he is leading you. Just let me leave that thought with you, and then we'll move on to another point. So not only did they have resources, but as we move on, I want you to notice that there were some preparations. The resource of presence of God. Then there's also the resource of preparation. Verse number 5, where I was reading to you there, the Bible says it came to pass about... No, sorry, I'm in the wrong... Bible flipped the page on me there. Hang on a minute. Okay, chapter 3 and verse 5 said, Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So there were some preparations that they had to do before that they moved on from this place. And we find something about the preparations that need to be done over in Genesis chapter 35, verse 1 and 2. We have an example when Jacob was returning to Bethel. He said, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. There's some preparation that has to be done. And if we are ever going to be able to win the battles, if we're a child of God, we're going to have to put away some things in our lives, some strange gods. And you say, well, I don't worship an idol god. I don't have some totem pole that I bow to every day. No, but listen, you can have anything that means more to you than the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is an idol. It is a idol god, and it's a strange god. It is a kind of a different word, that word strange, because he said, clear out the strange gods. Now, the word, root word from which that word strange comes from, has many definitions. Here are just a few. It means to look upon intently and to recognize or to give place or esteem to. You see, we can really esteem a lot of things higher than we value the Lord Jesus Christ and his work that he's done for us. If we place our esteem on something else or somebody else, then we have missed the mark. Second of all, it means to acknowledge. You see, we have to acknowledge the fact that God has said that we're all sinners, that we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Not no big sinners, no little sinners. Sin is sin, no matter who it is or what it is. It's the same. No big and little. And it all has the same cure. Nothing but the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary that paid the debt. And we can either accept that or we can reject it. And it can be acquainted or to be familiar with. To respect something. If you respect something more than you respect God and his will and his word and the Lord Jesus Christ, then that respect is a strange god. It is you're respecting something more than him. And it means to care. Do you care for something more than you care about the will of God and the love of God? And I like the one of them means to feign oneself to be another. I'm afraid that in the world that we live in today, we have a lot of people who are claiming to be something that they are not. And in the day that we live in, we see that Paul told Timothy that there would time to come that people would want itching ears, that have itching ears and want to bring people to them, that would not tell them the truth, but would tell them what they wanted to hear. And I'm afraid much of what goes in the name of Christianity today is nothing more than religion, and religion without salvation will save no one. Just going to church, just being a good person, just being a good neighbor, just acknowledging that there's a God is not enough. There must be a real faith, a real trusting of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his finished work at Calvary. Now, folks, I don't know what your need is today. As we bring the broadcast, I'm down to my last couple of 3 minutes here. And I want to save some time at the end to give you my contact information. But I want to say this, friend. If you've never had the assurance, if you don't have the assurance right now that if I died today, I'd go to heaven, I just wish that you would bow your head, ask the Lord to save you, to forgive you of your sins. Say, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I know that what you said is true, and I wish to come and confess that to you. Ask you to save me. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Friend, if you do that earnestly from the heart, I promise you on the authority of God's Word, He will save you. Now, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you think about the broadcast. I'd love to hear any of your prayer requests you have. If you'd like me to pray for you, if you have a special need, if you have a question, anything that I could be of service to you, I invite you to contact me. You can mail me at 724 Black Forest Drive, Maryville, Tennessee, 37801. I would sincerely love to hear from you, and trust that we can be a blessing to you in some way. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast. I appreciate each one that has tuned us in today, and trust that you'll be here each week as we continue our study into these memorials that were set up at Gilgal, and exactly what all of this means to you and I as we travel through this world together, headed towards our final resting place, our final destiny. Friend, if you're not saved today, I invite you. The Lord Jesus Christ invites you. He said, come unto me, all ye who labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you're tired of carrying that old burden of sin around, guilt, maybe shame, come to Jesus. He'll fix it. He'd give you life eternal. You'll never be sorry that you did. I know a lot of folks that are sorry about a lot of things, but no one has ever been sorry that they were saved by the grace of God. Lord, I pray you'll save that one that's closest to eternity today. Whoever may be under conviction, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to their heart, bring them to a place of understanding how much they need you. Lord, thank you for the broadcast and for each one that was listening today. Now go with each one, keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be back again next week.